So it's such an important trait to be grateful. Yeah. We can't delegate that. We have to actually verbally acknowledge it.
It is, it is. But, you know, an interesting thing, like, also we need to sort of understand this and digest this. Part of taking responsibility and also having faith, they go together, and they're sometimes a little bit opposite. Like we really believe it's going to be okay, and God is never going to forsake us. We're an eternal nation.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey everyone, welcome to another JP Show. I feel like we haven't had one for a while. Last week we didn't, because we did a interview on Thursday morning with Rabbi Shmotkin. That was really good.
Right.
But we are back. And it's interesting times, special times. Rabbi Levy, what do you think? And what are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm not going to say war has broken out with Iran. I think we'll be fighting Iran already for 2 years, but for more than that. But yeah, it's getting very serious. It's a little scary. We've seen casualties on the Israeli side, unfortunately. As we're recording this, literally minutes after there was a massive missile barrage on Israel. So it's concerning. But this is not new, and I think that we've been through this many times, and we'll get through it, and we'll be successful, and it'll all be good. It's just...
100%.
It's definitely difficult to go through it. One thing that I just observed, literally, I just watched a few videos. I think this is been a common theme throughout this whole war for the past almost 2 years. The lack of victim mentality on the Israeli side. It's just unbelievable. I mean, these videos of people dancing in bomb shelters, and that doesn't mean that they're not afraid, and it doesn't mean that they don't care. That, you know, obviously deeply saddened about any casualty, but the spirits are very much up, actually, which is...
It's incredible. I know you sent me that video where in the tunnel there was an alarm and they hiding out in the tunnel for a while. And they are singing, dancing. One guy's on his car.
Yeah.
Singing Od Yirteh Tov. It's going to be even better.
Very Israeli.
Yeah, it's just incredible. But I think it comes together with the unbelievable faith that they have. I mean, the picture of the Friday night, Kabbalat Shabbat, starting in a shelter.
Yeah.
It's really something amazingly special.
Unbelievable. I think, you know, this idea of not being a victim. Would you say, I'm just literally thinking through my own thoughts right now, like, would you say it's actually probably one of the most fundamental things of life? Is that a correct statement? I think there's so many things wrong today in the world, and I think it can all be traced back to not being a victim. Or not there are people that are victims. I mean, not what's the word we're looking for?
Not having a victim mentality.
Exactly, not being defined by victimhood.
Well, I think, of course, one of the most fundamental things, because in Judaism, for sure, because being a victim or having a victim mentality, I'm not saying being a real victim when a person's a victim of abuse or whatever, that kind of thing, but having an ongoing victim mentality is really about not taking responsibility, not owning your own story, right? And and not believing that you can do something about it and it's going to be okay and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's loss of hope. It's loss of faith, and it's also lack of responsibility, all those things together, which is why it's the most terrible thing, because in Judaism, faith for a better future is fundamental. So is choice and taking responsibility for what you can do and what you can control, right? Like Talmud tells us, everything's in the hands of heaven except for your moral responses or, you know, doing mitzvot. And we have, you know, fundamental to Judaism is God is in control, but he gives you free choice when it comes to your spiritual and moral choices. So Israel as a nation does amazingly in that. Right? Mm. I mean, they're not, you know, the modern day Israel, so to speak, beginning in 1948, is an incredible people, a bunch of people who just in a matter of a short time, they've just taken responsibility, taken initiative, built the most amazing thing, have incredible emunah and faith. And even the secular, at the end of the day, they also do, and they believe in miracles, and they believe in the possibility.
I think even Ben-Gurion said something to the effect, he wasn't known as the biggest religious Jew.
Correct.
Said something to the effect, like, if you don't believe in miracles, I can't remember the exact saying, but something to the effect, like, you can't be a Jew today without believing in miracles.
I don't know if it was him. I think it was him. Yeah, he said something like that, but also I think there was someone that made a joke, like, you know, I don't know, something about like believing in miracles is like the normal thing in Israel. Right. We also have to have an army or something like that. He said, we also have to do what we can. Like, you know, like miracles is like the natural state there.
Mm.
But it isn't. I mean, yeah. So life in general is about things happen to you. You don't say, well, someone else. It's about like a blaming, you know, all that kind of stuff, right?
I mean, would you say also, like, I'm not sure what leads to what, but gratitude is a very, very important character trait in Judaism and in general to being a happy person. A lack of gratitude is very much, very often leads to a victim mentality, or maybe a victim mentality leads to lack of gratitude. I'm not sure what the chicken or what the egg is.
Together. Yeah, I'm not sure the chicken and egg is either, but that does go together because you, again, everything's bleak, everything's dark, there's nothing good, it's everyone else's fault, it all goes together.
Right.
Gratitude is something we've talked about before, but it's such an important thing. We always have to remember. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I think I said it recently at a shiur. You know, we pray every day. We have the Amidah, right? And in the Amidah, we have a long list of things we ask God for. You know, we ask for health, and we ask for sustenance, and we ask for to be well and secure, and all these things, right? And we have then a blessing which we're allowed to insert kind of our own shopping list in, you know, that kind of Rosh Hashanah Koleinu, it's called. And then after all those blessings are finished, we've just spent like 5 minutes asking all the things that we need. In other words, really highlighting what we're lacking. And then right after that, we say a blessing called Modim Anachnu Lach, where we thank God and we say, we thank you for your daily miracles, for your daily wonders, right? Because we all have blessings, and that's part of that. Part of that is recognizing that things aren't all bleak. It's amazing miracles. Even in Israel, for example, we really want this to stop quickly because even a little bit of tragedy is terrible, right? But we also have to recognize the fact that there's amazing miracles happening. I mean, what Israel was able to pull off is just incredible. And this has been true for the last 2 years. I was just in Israel and, you know, Rabbi Ramon spoke to us, you know, and others spoke to us as well. And some of them highlighted these just the incredible, incredible miracles that took place even on October 7th, which is hard to sort of digest a bit.
Mm.
I mean, one very secular guy spoke to us and he was talking about how, you know, the fact, which a few people highlighted, that Hezbollah was actually supposed to join. They were supposed to join October 7th, which would have, I mean, God forbid, made it, it was so terrible, and it could have been so much more terrible. And yet no one can actually explain why they didn't. Only joined much later, but by then Israel was much more ready, but they actually didn't join, and their capabilities were much stronger than Hamas, and therefore it's an open miracle. And there are many, many, many miracles that took place. Incredible stuff. Recognized people in Israel recognize them, and it goes together again because they're also resilient and they also take responsibility and they also have hope and they're positive and they just it all goes together.
I once had an idea on that about at the end of the Amidah we say thank you. So when we have the repetition of the Amidah, when the Chazan does the repetition, so when we hear a blessing, we usually say Amen. That's usually the traditional response, which basically means that I agree with what that person's saying, and that's what Amen means. When it comes to the blessing of thanks, we don't just say Amen. We actually join in and say another version of Modim. And the reason is because, you know, when it comes to asking for things, we can say Amen, and that's enough. But when it comes to saying thank you, that you can't rely on someone else to say thank you for you. That you have to do yourself.
Right.
It's such an important trait to be grateful. Yeah. We can't delegate that. We have to actually verbally acknowledge it.
It is. But you know, an interesting thing, like also we need to sort of understand this and digest this. Part of taking responsibility and also having faith, they go together and they're sometimes a little bit opposite. Like we really believe it's going to be okay and God is never going to forsake us. We're in eternal relation. At the same time, we always take responsibility, meaning we have to respond. We have to do something. We have to, whether it's people in Israel having a good military strategy or it's people in Israel praying or it's us praying or us studying or us becoming more Jewish. And we believe it makes a difference, right? So the two things interestingly go together. So we know that it'll be okay. We have to hasten that being okay. And we have to strengthen that being okay by doing our parts. That's part of responsibility.
So you mentioned prayer, right? And then we've spoken about this a lot. Prayer, saying Tehillim, Psalms, the gatherings of prayer. There's going to be one this coming Tuesday night. You know, one could ask the question, this is more of a philosophical question, really. Like, Hashem knows what we need. Hashem knows what we want. Hashem could provide it. Does he need us to ask for it? Like, what's actually the reason why we have to, I mean, just on a simple level, before getting to, you know, deep philosophical ideas about prayer, just why is it actually necessary for us to pray? Like, what's the reason for that?
You know, it's an amazing thing. So that's a famous question, right? If God could give us, let's say, sustenance, or give us health. In other words, if we believe prayer is real, which of course we do, it's a real conversation. God is listening. If he says yes, and he gives us what we ask for, then why couldn't he just give it to us without us asking for it, right? Is it essentially that's what you're asking?
Yeah.
And the answer is because he wanted a relationship with us, and one of the answers anyways. And therefore, he asks us to pray because he gives us things, certain things he gives us when we pray for them. And that's the power of prayer. Why? Because when we pray to God, we are having a conversation with him. We are deepening the relationship with him. We are talking, he's listening, and we are actually conversing in a very real way. And that's why the word tefillah, actually, which is normally translated as prayer, if you look in Mishnaic Hebrew, it actually comes from a word that actually has a different meaning, which means it means to connect. Because prayer is a process where we connect to God. And we can connect to God different ways. I mean, we could just talk about God, we can be spiritual, all that kind of stuff. But actually, when we ask what we need, it's a very real conversation. Like the most real we can get. Like when you talk about there's certain parts of prayer, we talk about God's greatness and all that, that's very good. We talk about what's happening with the angels and the heavenly beings and all that. That's also a great part of prayer, but it's not so tangible. Like it's esoteric and it's theoretical. Or abstract, I should say. I mean, we believe in it, but it's abstract, right? When you stand there and you say to God, listen, I really need health. I really need to become better. I need whatever I need, right? It's a real conversation. We're really talking about something that we understand and we lack and we need, and it's building up a real relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much so that even we are taught that the power of tefillah is so strong that sometimes God wasn't intending to give us something and he gives it to us because we pray. So first of all, he wants us to pray and ask for things because that's how it works, and we build a relationship. And in fact, the power of the relationship is so strong and so cherished that sometimes we can actually not change God's mind, but we can create a desire because of our prayer. We ignite the desire for God to give us those things that we're asking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
That's why our prayer around these kind of times is so important, because we this is a great need. It's a collective need. It's a communal need. It's a nation need.
I think it's also part of it. Also, I think it the fact that we take time out of our day here to pray for them also is an expression of that we care.
Correct.
And the fact that we care also brings down blessing, right? We know that the unity and oneness amongst the Jewish people is also one of the biggest ways we draw down blessing onto the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
I just saw a video of a mother that was rescued from the rubble, like very miraculous. She somehow survived with her baby or infant. And she's obviously in shock, and she's saying how she's scratched and bruised, but she's fine. And she was saying how some woman, she has no idea who it is, went with her in the ambulance with her baby, took care of them, and went on. With all the confusion, she like didn't get to ask her name, and didn't know who she was. And she was sort of asking, like, if you know who you are, tell me who you are so I can thank you. And she ends off, she's crying, she's emotional. She ends off saying, like, what? She's talking in Hebrew. She says, what an amazing nation we have. We just fight about shtuyot. She says, we just fight about nonsense. Like, why are we fighting? It's like in these moments where it sort of comes out that we're all one, right? It's like, who knows who that woman was and what.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
By the way, even prayer, you know, all prayers, even personal prayers are in the plural.
Right.
Like in Amidah, we say, God, can you heal us? Can you give us sustenance? Because we pray on behalf of everyone. It's not only ourselves.
Yeah.
And we are, at the core, we're united. We're one big family. Like every family, we have our squabbles, but we are one big family.
Yeah, so let's keep praying and let's keep asking. And
you do, that's a prayer. You know, a person can stop during the day and just say an extra prayer, an extra mitzvah, strengthening our faith, being positive. All those things really, really make a difference.
Yeah.
And Am Yisrael Chai, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I mean, this is unbelievable. This is like the biggest ever, I think. I mean, this is not taking care of a little terrorist group, which is bad enough, but
bad enough. Yeah,
it's actually a country. It's really,
yeah,
it's actually a country. It's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
All right, everyone. See you. Good news.
We should only hear good news. See you next week.